What's up, Planet Shakers? It is great to have you with us again. Wherever in the world you're watching from, we're so thankful that you've come to join us. And I'm here to share with you today a sermon that I've called Take Me Higher. That's my prayer, that God would take us higher. That's God's will for our life, to take us higher. Come on, check this out. I believe it's going to bless you. All over this room, why don't we stand to our feet? I know we've just greeted each other, but why don't we come around a word of prayer really briefly. God, we thank you for your presence. Your word says that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. Your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. And so, God, we've come in with praise. We've come in with thanksgiving. Lord, we know you're here. And God, we ask you in this moment, would you come and do whatever it is that you want to do in our hearts and in our lives? Lord, we don't want to walk out the same way we walked in. God, would you take us higher today? God, would you take us further today? God, would you change us? God, change our hearts, change our minds. Lord, I pray for that word, Lord, that you would speak to us today, speaking in the midst of our situations. Lord, bring us that word that we need to get us through what we may find ourselves in the midst of. God, take us higher than we've ever been before. God, we thank you. We know that in your presence is fullness of joy. We know that in your presence is everything we need. Lord, we know that wherever you are, you're the one. You're the one that we seek. You're the one we came to church for. You're the one we came to encounter. You're the one. So God, would you come and touch us even now? Fill us even now. Anoint us even now. We thank you. We give you all the praise, all the glory. Come on, somebody with faith, give God a good amen today. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. It's great to be with you today. It's great to have you with us today. Perhaps here for the first time, and you got greeted by Steve and Tav just before. Good to see you all. Welcome everybody online. But some of our team, many of our team, in fact, are over in South Africa at the moment. And they just finished a few hours ago, just finished our South Africa Planet Shakers Conference, which was sold out. And just a mighty move of God. And come on, somebody, that's awesome. And just had a brilliant, brilliant time. And many of the crew, the band are going to be staying over in South Africa for the next two weekends. This weekend, next weekend as well. And doing many different events all over South Africa. So let's keep them in our prayers. And of course, we know that Heaven on Earth Part 2 came out on Friday. Come on, somebody. And that was awesome. And if you haven't gotten your copy yet, you can do it online. I'll even give you permission to do it while I speak. Yes. You're allowed. Tick of approval. Some of you are already on your phone. You're like, oh, thanks very much. But I'm kidding. That was last service. But it's brilliant. Praise God. Also, I'd love for you all to, we got some of our Planet Uni crew here this morning. What's up, Planet Uni? Come on, somebody. And we got our O-Week time of year is on again. We actually started a week and a half ago in some of our university campuses, but the big week is this week and next week coming up. We're going to be out on all the campuses. And so if you're a university student, you better be ready. If you're not, I'd love it if you could pray for us. Pray, you know, God has given us such an incredible opportunity to reach thousands of university students. God called us here to Melbourne and he gave us his mandate, empowering generations to win generations. And who knows, there's a generation of university students that needs to be reached, that needs a church home, that needs to be saved. And so I'd love it if you could pray for us this week as we head out on campus. And next week, maybe we'll run out of room in this service. Not a problem. I'll take that. That's a good problem to have, because this year's the year of supernatural increase, by the way. And so we saw a great time at the beginning of last semester, but it's a whole new semester. So God's got more for us. Do you know God's still got more for you, church? It's the year of supernatural increase. I was thinking as I was preparing for today, this week, and as I was getting ready, I was thinking about supernatural increase and all the things that we've seen. We saw the biggest miracle offering last month that we've ever seen in a single month. And I know there's more. Last term in Boom, we saw the biggest amount of decisions in one term of Boom that we ever have in the history of our church. About 6 weeks ago, over one weekend, we had the most amount of souls over one weekend that we've ever had in church, 497. Come on, somebody. These are the good things that God has been doing in our church already. But I came to declare something today, that there is more, that we're not through the year yet, that there's still more God has wrapped up in this declaration of supernatural increase. Today, there's more. This week, there's greater. This month, there's higher that God wants to take us into, wrapped up in this word, more that He has for us to discover. I don't know if you believe me yet, but that's all good. I got 24 more minutes and I'm gonna get you by the end of it. I get it though, I get that the devil's not happy about all of the great things that we've been seeing. And not to give him any credit this morning, because it's not like he's all that much. He's really just doing all of the things God told us he would do, and that is to steal and to kill and destroy. That's what he does. So I understand that he's not happy that we would be taking ground. But I also understand that at no point in time has the victory of God ever been in doubt. God is still on the throne. He is still the King. He is still victorious. The name of Jesus is still higher. Heaven is not nervous with what the devil may be trying to do. No matter what you may be in the middle of, God is still God. God is still able. He's still the God for whom nothing is impossible. He's still the God who is able. He still comes with healing in His hands. We are still healed by His stripes. We are still saved by His blood. Oh, come on, somebody. If you believe in Jesus, would you give Him a praise today? Yeah! He's still the one that saves us. He's still the one that delivers us. He's still the one that sets us free. He's still the one that provides for us. By Him we're empowered. He's still our Prince of Peace. And here's the thing. If anything in your week, this week, has suggested otherwise, you're in the right place. Because God is about to move in your life. I don't know what your life may be trying to make you believe at the moment. I don't know what you may be in the middle of right now, but I do know this, God is still God. I gotta hurry. I gotta tell you a story. A story I had to repent for, but that's okay. It's fun, we're amongst family. My father-in-law is fighting his way through a health situation at the moment. And we got to see him last month, which was fantastic. But he's fallen in love with group text messages. Come on, somebody. I don't know if you've ever been in a group text message with 97 other people. Yeah, that's my life. And so we get updates and little anecdotes and things that are going on. And so we get to stay in touch with what's going on. And it's all Chelsea's family. You know, it's cousins and aunties and uncles and babysitters and dog walkers and, you know, everyone. Like, everyone's in it. It's like 97 people. And so we got this update. And last Sunday morning, I was out praying before church. I was here early and went on a bit of a walk. And I was praying. And my father-in-law texted this update of what's going on and how it's going in life at the moment. And what's happening in his health situation. And someone, like, I know about 7 or 8 of the phone numbers on that list. They're saved in my phone. I got no idea who everyone else is. No clue. And someone, I know they're American because I know the number is American. They're all American except me and Chelsea. And so I don't know who it was. Some well-meaning Christian person just put this response on there to a negative health update that my father-in-law had texted everyone of what's going on. And they just said these lovely, well-meaning words, trust and obey. That's our only job. Something happened inside of me. I don't even know what it was. There's this righteous indignation that just stood up in me. It's the faith of the Holy Spirit just grabbed a hold of me. And in a moment before I realized what was happening, I blacked out and my fingers typed this response. And I'm like, oh. I just blasted this text message. I had to send a message to Chelsea and her mother afterwards. I just apologized. I said to Chelsea, sorry. She's like, what for? I said, just check the group message. What's awesome is a lot of people don't know it was me. They know it was an Australian number. And so Chelsea's grandma texted, oh, Chelsea, that's wonderful. She thought it was her. So everyone now thinks it was Chelsea that blasted this poor old person. Praise God. I just,
I couldn't handle this text message because this lovely, well-meaning person had said a very supportive, typical Christian statement of trust and obey, that's our only job. And I'm like, no! What am I trusting this sickness? What am I obeying this diagnosis? Trust and obey is not my job here. We're in a battle of faith. We're in a fight of faith. There is a war to be won. There is a sickness to be cast out. And there are prayers that need to be prayed. I don't want someone to come and pat me on the back. I want someone who's going to drop to their knees and pray until this thing shifts and there's a healing that is wrought. That's our job. There's a war to be won. I texted this verse. It says this in Matthew 11, 12. It says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. I need you to understand this morning, there are promises of God. There is the kingdom of heaven to come on earth as it is in heaven, but it's going to take some people grabbing a hold of what God has for us, taking it by force and saying, I claim that in Jesus' name. I take that in Jesus' name. I don't care what the world may be saying to me right now, in Jesus' name. So now you know what came over me. And there's a fight of faith. There's a fight of faith that we gotta battle with. The Apostle Paul talks about the fight of faith often throughout his letters. So there is a fight of faith that we are in. We have to fight to stay in faith, to remain in faith, to be in faith. There's a fight of faith. And I understand the fight of faith is not against a person. Poor old Aunt Mildred or Uncle Tom or whoever the heck was on the end of that message. Well, they got shut down pretty quickly. And nobody got time for that. So I want to preach to you today. I hope you're ready for it. I want to preach to you today about this thought, take me higher. Come on, somebody say, take me higher. Come on, say it as a prayer. Say, take me higher. Come on, say it with faith. Say, take me higher. Come on, now shout it with everything you got. Say, take me higher. Take me higher. Take me higher. God, that's what, oh, look, it's up on the screen. Take me higher, 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 extending above the normal level. Come on, somebody. I don't want a normal life. Great or greater than normal in quantity, in size, in intensity. That's higher. Take me higher. Take me higher. We're going higher. We're going higher. Y'all can take a break. You'll be back soon. Bless you, Nikki. See, it is godly for us to press in. It is godly for us to press in to possess all that God has for us to take up this fight of faith, for us to desire to go higher, to push in to go higher. It is godly for us to do that. You see, just because we go to church does not mean life will always be easy. Just because we are God followers and because we are mostly good people, I'm just making that assumption on your behalf, just because we are good people doesn't mean life will always be easy. And I know that we understand that theologically because we read our word and we get it intellectually. We know that life will not always be easy, but emotionally, sometimes we don't always understand that straight away. Sometimes we can live with a mindset of, shouldn't this just happen because I'm a Christian? Because I go to church, because I've gone to church every week for the last 4 weeks. God, shouldn't you just bless me for that? I mean, I'm up to at least twice a month to coming to church now. Shouldn't I be blessed for that? God, I've tithed this month. Shouldn't I be blessed for that? Well, yeah, absolutely. It doesn't mean life will always be easy. You see, in the Bible, when we read Jonah got a word from the Lord. Pastor Russell encouraged me to preach on Jonah today. If you follow me on Instagram, you know what I'm talking about. But unfortunately, I didn't have time for that. All the mermaids. But if you don't follow me, you got no idea what I'm talking about. Let me explain. You can ask questions on Instagram now. You can say, ask me anything. And so I said, what should I preach on tomorrow? I was at home alone. Chelsea's overseas. So I got bored. And so I said, what should I preach on? I got some great responses. But Pastor Russell suggested that I should speak on Jonah and the mermaids. It was tempting, but I already had a sermon, so it's too bad. So maybe this is rebellion. Maybe I'm not submitting to his leadership. I don't know. God will judge me for it. But anyway, you're getting this word whether you like it or not. Here it is. Take me high. And so I don't even know what the heck I was saying. So we read We read in the Bible that Jonah got a word from God, but he rebelled. He went in the opposite direction. And so a storm blew against him. It's like, okay, storms come against you when you go the wrong way. And then the Apostle Paul was on his way to Rome. And he said to the sailors of the ship, they said, don't go any further. There's a storm coming. And they didn't heed to the word of God. They rebelled against God's word. And so a storm came and they were shipwrecked. And we can read that and we can say, okay, when storms come, it's because you're going the wrong way. Well, sure, maybe sometimes. But then when you read the Gospels and Jesus put the disciples in a boat and sent them across the Sea of Galilee straight into a storm. And so they were going where God told them to go, and they were heading in the direction that God had willed for them, and they still got caught up in a storm. And so we can feel, we can read sometimes and think, I'm following God, everything should go my way, but not exactly. Sometimes when the wind is blowing against you, when you're under attack, it's actually a sign that you're going in the right direction. When you get on an aeroplane and they go to take off, they actually take off into the wind. Eagles actually soar higher when the wind is blowing strongest. Just because the wind is against you doesn't mean you're going against the will of God in your life. See, Jesus called his disciples straight into a storm. I don't know, maybe you're going through a storm in life at the moment. Maybe you're going through a difficult situation. It is not a sign that God is not on your side. This is, in fact, the perfect moment to pick up that fight of faith and say, come on, somebody, we're going here. Now, let me just correct a thought in case you are thinking this. I talked about my father-in-law's situation before. He is sick. Now I'm talking about storms. I'm not suggesting Jesus leads you into sickness. You won't find that anywhere in the Bible. Never does he say, oh, this group of people, you look a bit rebellious. Come over here. I'm going to make you sick for a while. No, that's not his will. Sickness is not from God. Let's just get that cleared up. So if you got a sickness in your body, that is not God's storm. But maybe you are going through a storm in life. And see, God would want us to realize that whether the wind seems to be blowing against us or for us, whether life is easy or difficult, he is God of the storm and he is also God of the good times. He is God of the sowing and of the reaping. He is God when things seem for you and against you. Because if these disciples never went through a storm, they could have been mistaken in thinking it was their dedication, their discipleship, their devotion, their church attendance that blessed them. But it wasn't that. It was just because that's who God is. God needed them to understand if they never went through the storm, they wouldn't have known that he was God over the storm, he was God in the storm, he was God of the good times, he was God of the bad times. He's God no matter what's going on. That's our God. Doesn't matter what you're facing, he's still on the throne. Doesn't matter if things seem difficult, he is still God. None of what we're going through challenges who he is. So we have to press in. We have to press into all that God has for us. We have to press into all that's wrapped up in supernatural increase. God declared the word. Now it's our opportunity to seek out and to search out everything that's wrapped up in that word. God, what do you have for me today? What is the supernatural increase for me today? God, what parts of my life are not lining up with your declared word? You said supernatural increase and I'm not seeing it here yet. So what have you got for me today? That's our role. That's our job. Press into God. Somebody shout, take me higher. Take me higher. Come on, like you really want it. Somebody say, take me higher.
Take me higher.
So I want us to turn in our Bibles today to the book of Psalms. And in the book of Psalms, there are 15 Psalms. It's quite an audacious goal for me today as I preach this sermon. I want to preach to you out of just a measly 15 chapters of Scripture. So I hope you'll stay with me. See, there's these Psalms. Psalm 120 is where it starts. Psalm 120 through to 134. It's a series of 15 Psalms. And in my Bible, probably in yours as well, each of those Psalms are labeled at the top, a Psalm of Ascent. Ascent, go higher. Psalms of Ascent. And so these Psalms of Ascent, some people, some Jews, the Jewish One of the Jewish books suggests that the pilgrims would sing this as they made their way up to the temple. And there were 15 large steps that they had to work their way up as they were ascending up into the temple. And they would sing a psalm on each step. And as they were singing, they were worshiping. And as they were worshiping, they were going higher. And as they were going higher, they were getting closer to the temple, closer to the presence of God. Definitely history suggests that pilgrims would sing this as they came into church from distant lands. They would sing this as they got closer and as the temple in Jerusalem was up on a hill. And so as they got closer to God's presence, they were getting higher. As they were getting higher, they were singing, they were worshiping these psalms. And stay with me very quickly as we go through these psalms, 15 psalms, 15 of them, 15. It's our 15th year, by the way. We're in the middle of our 15th year. It's also July the 15th today. I realized that yesterday. And 15, read into that what you will. 15 in the Bible pictures rest. There's also 15 promises of God listed to us in the book of Matthew. King Hezekiah was granted 15 extra years of life. So these psalms of ascent, these 15 psalms, they were sung as people ascended up into God's presence. Psalm 120 is the first one. I hope you're with me. And Psalm 120, it talks about being set apart. At the very start, they made a decision. God, I'm setting myself apart from whatever I may be caught up in the world, whatever I may be going through, whoever I may be surrounded with, I set myself apart for your presence. And then Psalm 121, it talks about elevating your perspective. They began to look up to God. Verse 1 to 2 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So they set themselves apart. They elevated their perspective. And then the next psalm, they begin to praise. I love this verse 1 of Psalm 122 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I'm glad you all came to the house of God today. I'm glad that you all got out of bed and came here today. It's good to have you. Psalm 123, the fourth one, they begin to say, God, have mercy on us. Save us. The next one, Psalm 124, they begin to testify, God, you did it before. God, you saved us before. You were victorious before. You've done it in the past. And then the sixth one, they begin to say, God, we trust you. Protect us, surround us with your strength. And then the seventh one, they say, okay, God, you've done it before. Now they say, do it again. As you did in the past, now do it again. God, restore like you did in the past. Deliver like you did in the past. Let there be a harvest like there was in the past. And then we get to the middle of all of these psalms, Psalm 127, the eighth in the 15, it's the middle psalm. And I wonder what would be the theme of the middle one? What would they make the center of it all, the center of attention built around everything? Well, praise God, it's about His presence. His presence at the center, at the middle of it all. They begin to say, we need your presence. They say in verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, it's all in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, it's all in vain. And they begin to talk about how much they need God. They need His presence. Can we go deeper? Continuing on the ninth one, Psalm 128, they begin to say, God, would you bless us? Jehovah Jireh, bless us. Psalm 129, the 10th one, they say, deliver us, God. Deliver us from the evil one, like you already have, continue. Then Psalm 130, the 11th one, they say, we wait on you. Verse 5 of Psalm 130 says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. Then going on, the 12th one, they begin to humble themselves. The 13th one, they say, God, fulfill your promises. The 14th one, they say, God, they begin to sing about unity. Verse 1 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Jesus talked about this in the New Testament. He says, if you're in the presence of God and you realize in that moment you have something against your brother has something against you, he goes, leave and sort that out very quickly. It's important as we come together, we're unified. Unified in God's presence. And then the final psalm, Psalm 134, the 15th in the series, is all about praise. Praise. Just as we started, we'll finish. God, praise at the start, praise at the end. God, we praise you, we keep praising. And so in every line of these psalms, 15 psalms, as they were heading up into the temple, every line that they sung, they were worshiping. And every word of worship out of their mouth, they were going higher and higher and higher. What a coincidence, there's a staircase on stage. It's inconvenient, there's only 3 steps and not 15, but that's okay. Praise God. And so as they were heading up into God's temple, they begin to say, God, we set ourselves apart. And they go higher And then they say, God, we remember how you did it in the past. And then they go higher. And then they say, God, like you provided for us, like you delivered us, now do it again. And they go higher. And then they get closer to the temple. They say, God, your presence, that's what we came for. That's what we seek. That's what we want. That's what we desire. And they would go higher. And as they were going higher in their hearts, they were going higher physically. And then as they were going higher in worship, they would go higher towards the presence of God. They were saying, God, I wait on you. Take me higher. I humble myself. Take me higher. Bless me. Take me higher. Deliver me. Take me higher. God, I'm going higher. And I understand this. They didn't just say, all right, God, I set myself apart. I'm coming to church. Woo, take me higher. Oh, that was a good week. And then the next week, I say, all right, God, woo, like you did it in the past, do it again. Oh, that's good. Take me higher. Yeah, that's a good week. All right, I'm out. Gone out for CO. Not a problem. And then they come again and say, okay, God, I had enough of the set me apart part last week. I had enough of the deliverance part. And let's just skip to the bless me part. Bless me, Lord. Take me higher. All right, that's good. I'm done. They didn't do that. They kept going. They kept pursuing. They kept pressing in. They kept going higher and higher and higher. They didn't get halfway. They didn't just get to his presence and decide that was enough. No, they were singing, take me higher. God, I want everything you have for me today. I want to go all the way in. I want to go all the way up. I want to go all the way into what you got for me. God, is more than what I had last week. It's more than what I could contain last week. It's more than what I could handle last week. Take me higher. I want it all. And they were going all the way in. And so we see in this series of songs and psalms, understand the Old Testament, Bible scholars, you would know this, the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of what we see in the New Testament. And so in the Old Testament, they were going higher. They were ascending into God's house, but they were ascending somewhere to be near God's presence. That's all they could do then. They could just be near God. They would enter a building near him. They would enter with hunger, with worship and hope, but the closest they could get was near God. But now in the New Testament, come on somebody. Hebrews chapter 10 says it like this. I like it in the Message version. You can use whatever you like, but it says it like this. It'll be on the screen. It says verse 19 of Hebrews 10. It says, so friends, we can now without hesitation walk right up to God. Into the holy place, not near him. We can just step straight in. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The only curtain into God's presence is the body of Jesus. Woo, I love that picture. So let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. This version, in the older version of the Bible, this verse says, let us boldly enter into his presence. See, that's our promise. We get to boldly come into his presence, into the holy of holies. We get to go higher and higher and higher. God doesn't want to just take you to another level, church. God wants to take you to another dimension. Supernatural increase is not like what you had before. It's not just one level up. It's not just a little bit more. It's not just a tiny bit more. It's a supernatural level. It's greater than what you've known. It's more than what you pictured. It's higher than what you prayed about and what you asked for. It's more than what you dreamt for. That's how high God wants to take us. And so we can say, I've had a tough week. Take me higher. I've been through hell and high water, but take me higher. I may have sickness with me right now, but that's okay. Take me higher. You'll deal with that. I may have a child away from God, but take me higher. I may not have had the prayers answered the way I thought I would, but whoo, take me higher. I may not have got the promotion I was going for, but whoo, take me higher. And then as we get taken higher, closer to his presence, all of a sudden, oh, I remember how you brought me through. Take me higher. I remember how good you were in the past. You're still good. Take me higher. I remember that you were good then. You're going to be good now and good enough to take me higher. I remember that your promises over me are yes and amen. Take me higher. I remember that you were able then. Of course you're able now. Take me higher. Hey! way. And then as we get into His presence, we begin to see more of Him than our problems. We begin to have our view elevated. We begin to realize just how good He is. Hey, I want Jesus. Take me higher. I want Your fire. Take me higher. I want You, Holy Spirit. Take me higher. I want Your embrace. Take me higher. I want all You got for me. Take me higher. If all I have is You, hey, that's enough. Take me higher. This is what we get in His presence. God wants to take you higher. God has more in store for you. We may have to climb a ways. We may have some distance to ascend. We may need to press in. We may need to fight in faith. We may need to pray, but God has more. God has more for you, more than you thought when you came in this room today. It's His will. He's got more for us. The year is not over. The battle isn't over. The fight is not finished. There's a breakthrough for you today. Would you press in? Would you press in? Would you ascend? Would you go higher? Would you pick up your fight of faith? Would you? Come on, church. Say, take me higher. Come on, say, take me higher.
Well, praise God. Wherever in the world you're watching from, we pray that today's message blessed you. And hey, look, we would love to stay in touch with you. You can find us on all the social media platforms. Come check out our website, planetshakers.com. And hey, if you haven't done it yet, just this week, we released Heaven on Earth Part 2. Brand new music from Planet Shakers. You can find it on all the digital platforms. We believe it's going to bless your life. Thanks for joining us for another week. We'll see you soon.